2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and of spirit, making holiness perfect in the fear of God. May God bless the reading of his word today. I was the only boy in my family. I should say I was the only boy that survived in my family. I had a little brother that lived 14 days. Long before I came along, I had a little brother that lived 14 days. And then I was a bit of an afterthought, in case y'all haven't ever noticed. My sisters are significantly older than me. I'm recording this so they can listen to it later and be reminded that, you know. I have a sister that's 8 years older than me, and I have a sister that's almost 15 years older than me. That sort of makes me, I don't know, an afterthought. Some people used to call us accidents. I used to like to think of myself as, way to go, Dad. I grew up in a family that had a lot of tradition, a lot of history. I will not bore you with that. Just fairly early on, I realized that I was a Lunsford. And that was supposed to mean something within the circle of our family. And I was a junior. I was called Little Harold. My middle name's Harold. You all know it now. Yes, I've heard every joke you can imagine about that name. Especially the 1970s advertiser who had the weird Harold commercials. Okay, I've heard them all. I was Little Harold. I was Little Jim. I was Jimmy. I was definitely my father's son. And I suspect all sons to some extent, but those of us who are juniors in maybe a special way really, really walk in the shadow of our father, you know? Early on, I developed a desire to make my dad happy. I wish I had always lived up to that and always made him happy, but, you know, fairly early on, I can remember wanting to make Dad happy, wanting to please him, wanting to measure up to his standards. Wasn't always easy. Dad could be pretty demanding. And for those of you who knew my dad, he was sort of a man's man. He was always bigger than me. I never outgrew him. He was smart. He had a great career. Pretty big shoes to fill. He had been a great athlete. He had done amazingly well through his grade school and high school education. Was a veteran, combat vet. I mean, presidential accommodations in his file. Big shoes to fill. I wanted to make him happy. I heard the great war stories about his sports achievements in high school. I wanted to be a great athlete. I wanted to be a great athlete. But I was left-handed, and they taught me how to play ball right or left-handed. Until they realized that I was right-eye dominant and I couldn't play worth spit left-handed. I couldn't hit the ball. I couldn't catch the ball. I kept getting hit in the forehead with the baseball. It was awful. Couldn't measure up that way. Finally, I got a right-handed glove, and it was like somebody flipped a switch, and I could almost play ball. And then I really worked hard and sort of made Dad proud. I hit a few home runs. He liked that. I got a few people out at the home plate playing hind catcher. He liked that. Dad's praise was not easy to come by. Some of you knew my dad, you might think, boy, that seems weird. Dad's praise was not easy to come by. Dad was seldom pleased, it seemed, growing up. He was seldom pleased with my achievements. Unless they were perfect. One small anecdote which might explain a lot about the way I am and something of what I'm trying to say about my dad's approval being somewhat hard to achieve. And that is, in the 10th grade, I took geometry in high school. And I came home after the first 6 weeks of geometry, and my report card indicated I had scored 105 in geometry. I mean, wouldn't you? I got my report card in my hand. I'm standing in the kitchen. I'm handing it to my dad. He looks at it, glances over the rest of the grade, some of which were in the middle 90s. He looks at this 105, and he goes, "Son, what's this 105 about in geometry?" And I said, "Well, that's a pretty good grade, isn't it?" And he goes, "I guess. How do you make 105? And I said, "Well, there was some extra credit that I did." And he said, "How much extra credit was there?" And I said, "A lot." And he said, "What could this grade have been?" And I said, "I could have gotten 5 more points." And he looked at me and he said, "Then, son, why isn't this 110? Dads have a way of helping us not be lazy or accept mediocrity or be less than we can be, develop less than our potential. Dad was keen to make sure that I didn't get lazy, and he had those interesting ways of seeing to it. It was hard to meet those standards, but I wanted to. I was motivated to. I desired to please my dad. I wanted to hear Dad say, "Son, I'm proud of you." I lived long enough to hear him say, "Son, I'm proud of you," several times. Even at the very end of his life, I heard him say, "Son, I'm proud of you." And that makes me feel good. Really good. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, says, "Since we have these promises," I like promises, sort of, especially the ones other people make to me. And I have this strange feeling that promises ought to be kept. It's like one of the great universal truths of mankind. Promises should be kept. We have promises. Well, what kind of promises do we have? Well, they're obviously not contained in this one verse. You have to back up a little bit. And Paul explains to the Corinthians, who were Christians, the Christians in Corinth, he tells them, he says, "We are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." We have the promise that God will live in us, and that we will be his people. We'll be identified with God. His people. We will bear his name. That's a pretty good promise. That is a nice crowd to be associated with. especially when it comes to the end. Therefore, come out and be separate from them, says the Lord, touching nothing unclean, then I will welcome you, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Sons and daughters of God. Now that's a pretty good family lineage. I don't know about you, but that's a nice name to bear. And for some strange reason, early on, other people, not God's people, decided they would call those people that follow Jesus Christian. It started out as a kind of a term of derision, name calling. Be his sons and daughters. We end up bearing the name of Christ. I don't know how many of you went to the ball game the other night. Friday night was fun. If you didn't go to a ball game, the ball game Friday night, you missed two really good ball games. I'm just telling you. I don't. Just so y'all know, shh, quiet, don't tell anybody. This is James's secret, and y'all are going to be let in on it. People think I like basketball because I'm at a lot of basketball games. I don't like basketball. I never could play basketball. I basically got kicked out of the tryouts when I was a freshman for injuring somebody intentionally. Probably did. That's another story. We won't go there. But I sure love my kids. Y'all missed a good ball game. We played a team, and I think they're Grace Christian Academy. And something painful happened in that game to me. And that is the Grace Christian Academy's men's coach apparently said something he shouldn't say to a referee and had a technical foul called against him. Yay! Fans went wild. People are standing up in the crowd. Finally, he got it. And I'm over there and my heart's breaking. Because I'm thinking, printed on his shirt, it says Grace Christian Academy. And my daddy don't like people to talk like that. You understand? Our Heavenly Father is not pleased with that kind of behavior. And there he's called by our God's name. And aren't we? Some I could just go on with basketball analogies, okay? Some of you know I don't go to that other academy that bears the name. And I just don't. Those games are closed, but I don't go to them because I've done that a time or two, and I found it too painful. Whether we won or lost, I found it too painful to sit in a place, to drive in a place where it says Christian, and see people behave in ways that will not make our Father proud. That hurts me. Because we're God's people. I mean, He's our Father. We bear the name of Christ. we're family. We should do our Father proud. We should bear the name of Christ with honor. When people see us and listen to us and watch our lives, what they see should make our Father proud. Now, I've been preaching for a few minutes and I'm going to meddle for a few. Sons and daughters of God, in the family, bearing His name. Is there something inside of you that wants to make our Father proud? I mean, I bet, and I don't bet, but I might would, that when it comes the great day of judgment, right? That day way off in the future, we think, we hope, that when God judges everybody, I'll bet you want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." You really want to hear Dad say, "I'm proud of you," on that day. Is He proud today? Temples of the Almighty God. A place where God lives. That's what Paul says about us as individuals. We are a walking, talking temple of God. A place where God will dwell. But I don't believe He dwells in places where He's not welcome. And I don't believe He dwells in places that He can't be proud of. Do you bear the name of Christ with honor? Really? The way you live, the way you behave, the way you talk. We got anybody in the place that does that perfectly? Hard to measure up to His standards. They're pretty high. For a reason. He wants His name to have honor. He wants His children to be like Him. Some people think, "I can't be perfect." It's not news to any of the rest of us. Really not. Some people think, "Well, since I can't be perfect, God just makes allowance for everything." Sorry. I don't think it works that way. I think we need to re-understand this word perfect, and it doesn't mean absolute ideal perfection, but it means perfect for our purpose. And if it means anything, it means perfection in our motives. We really want to please God, to be like Him. That deep in our heart and our soul, we want to make Him happy and proud of us. We want to live like He wants us to live. We want to be His people. That's our motive. That's our heart's cry. It's our passion to be like Christ. To bear His name with honor. And if we don't, there's something about our life, something about the way we live or our speech, or then it should hurt us. It should wound us. Because we're not measuring up to what we want to be. And we're not making Him proud. I'm not a list maker, and I've said that, and I'm not a list maker, so I'm not making a list. I'm just going to ask you today, You know you better than anybody else. You know you better than anybody else. As a matter of fact, you are the only human being on the planet that you have total insider information of. You are literally in your own head and in your own heart. And in a few quiet minutes, just a few moments, as we close this service, would you, with honesty, ask God to let you see and know what in your life needs to change for you to be a child of God who makes Him proud? What about the way you conduct your life or your business or your conversation? Or what needs to change for you to be able to put that word Christian on and march out in public and to do His name honor? What about the way you treat others? What about the way you talk about others? What about the way you live? What about the way you do what you do with your time? What about what you do with your money? What needs to change for you to be a child of God who hears Him say, "Well, I'm proud of that one"? And ultimately to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I think if you ask, He'll reveal what needs to change. Don't ever stop asking that question. And don't ever stop doing what He tells you to do. No matter how scary, no matter how difficult, just do what He tells you to do. Bear His name with honor. Do our family proud. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, today I pray that You would flip that switch inside of us that makes us want to be sons and daughters of God who make our Heavenly Father proud. We want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Oh, do we want to hear that? Give us the strength through the power of Your Holy Spirit to make the corrections in our lives that must be made for us to be sons and daughters who make You proud, who bear Your name with honor, who do right by our Christ, and who can lead others to Him. Bless now, I pray, those who have come into Your house. Meet a blessing out for each one, fit for their needs in the coming days. Guide us by Your powerful Holy Spirit. Dismiss us with Your grace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.